So welcome to the Intercontinental Day of Action here in Washington State. We are one of over 50 actions happening right now across North America called by our Mexican allies. Many people in Mexico lost their lives to keep NAFTA from passing 20 years ago. They knew, despite all the promises of economic stability and a better life, that their communities would suffer. They were right. And we were right. However, that's little consolation now after 20 years of job loss, environmental degradation, and erosion of our democracy. And there is a plan to expand NAFTA. It's called the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the TPP. That is why we're here today. And we have folks from all over Washington here. We have folks from Olympia, folks from Spokane, folks from Bellingham, folks from Kitsap that have come here today to vow to make sure that we do everything we can to stop the expansion of NAFTA in the TPP. Are you with us? So I'm delighted to welcome up our first speaker. He was involved in the struggles against NAFTA and CAFTA and the WTO. He knows that one of the root causes of forced economic migration is because of the destabilization of NAFTA. Juan Bocanegra is the state coordinator of El Comité Pro Reforma Migratoria y Justicia Social, the Committee for Migration Reform and Social Justice. Let's welcome Boca to the stage.
Thank you, folks. When I decided to write my presentation and not shoot off the hip, so I think this is a really important issue for all of us. And like Kristen said, we were right 20 years ago.
That's right.
We were right all over the place. 20 years ago when labor, students, civil rights, immigrant rights groups, women, intellectuals, professional social justice, and ecumenical groups came together to protest the then effort to push the North American Free Trade Agreement down workers' throats. It has been 20 years. A process that has left not only an economic nightmare for workers, but also death and destruction for others. Since its implementation, a slow but consistent trickle of workers and indigenous people from Mexico have been displaced, with a culmination by the devaluation of the Mexican peso by banks like Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and so on. To date, there are over 11 million undocumented workers in the United States whose suffering can only be attributed to those financial policies called trade agreements. You know them, they are Maria, Luz, Manuel, Raul, and so on. These hardworking people were displaced as NAFTA thrashed the domestic markets and the manufacturing infrastructure of Mexico. What has the process produced? Millions of people displaced from their native lands and the way of life. It has developed a more failed state with corrupt government called Mexico, running rampant unemployment and underemployment, where the largest employer for young peoples are the cartels. A country where life is considered cheap, exemplified through murders, kidnappings, arrests without due process, where cartels run large parts of the country under the full knowledge of the existing government, and in instances, in cooperation with some of these dark forces. We have seen riches beyond belief of a very few, minute few people at the cost of the massive many, where the whole public infrastructure like telefonos, transportaciones, and the food production system was sold and continues to be sold, like Pemex. We have seen the environment devastated along the border and in the interior of Mexico by this financial interest that have benefited by NAFTA. In this country, we have seen hundreds of thousands of jobs lost for domestic and immigrant workers as industries are sent abroad where the salaries are super low, creating super exploitative conditions for workers in those countries. We have seen the standard of living deteriorate for workers and their families that have been fought by workers in the past. This has been costly lessons for workers. However, we must also point out that people have not sat by as these policies were implemented. we have also fought back. And what we have learned, that when we fight back, we win. The Zapatistas, who came out to protest the devastating impact that the agriculture and other domestic policies would have on people's lives. This was not a passive demonstration. Workers, students, women, immigrants, minority communities demonstrated during the WTO. Seattle led the way worldwide against the so-called trade policies. We have seen the historical marches of millions of immigrants and movements in 2006. We have seen the development of the Occupy movement and the educational process that it has created by highlighting the power of the 99%. And now, the $15 wage increase, which continues to create ripples in politics.
Absolutely.
So the lesson we have learned is that when we fight, we win. And when we need unity, that we cannot stop fighting back no matter what. That we will be victorious if we fight for our own interests. No to the trade agreements. No to the deportations. I 15 now. Let's support others and join us on May 1st for the Immigrant Rights March on May 1st. Thank you very much. Y la lucha continúa.
Thank you, Boca. Now I'd like to invite to the stage Ren Wagenbach, a 13-year-old from Plant for the Planet, who will also be sharing her views about the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Let's welcome them.
My name is Ren Wagenbach, and I'm 13 years old. I'm working with Plant for the Planet, an organization run by children around the world that plants trees to help offset CO2 emissions. I'm here to speak out against the Trans-Pacific Partnership because I'm worried about my future. We know that man-made emissions of methane and CO2 are making our climate less stable. Climate scientists can't be sure exactly what will happen in the future, but we know some very scary outcomes are possible. Will I be able to live my life in a world anything like the one we have now? Will I want to have children 50 years from now? Will my children want to have children? Or will ocean acidification or water shortages or food shortages make their futures too uncertain to even risk having families? Climate change doesn't just affect us. It affects people who haven't even been born yet. Our political leaders are not doing a very good job of beginning to control climate change. We need to demand that they do better and to do more to reduce dangerous emissions. But the TPP will prevent that from happening. We can't let rules hidden in a trade agreement overturn the laws of democratic countries. We can't let the TPP prevent us from taking action to keep the world safe and comfortable for future generations. Please support Plant for the Planet. Support 350.org and oppose the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Thank you.
Well, we need to remember and we need to resist. We also need to have hope. I have some very, very good news for you. Because of the tireless actions of everyone here, and in particular, our next two speakers, 2 days ago, Democratic Majority Leader Senator Harry Reid came out against Fast Track. This is pretty amazing, and it's because of the pressure of everyone here. And it is reason that if Fast Track does not move forward this congressional session, neither will the TPP. He's urged Congress not to pursue Fast Track. And so, at least if it does move forward, it will not be an up or down vote. And our two next speakers will tell you more about that. We are so lucky to have Lynn Dodson, who is Secretary Treasurer of the Washington State Labor Council, and Robin Everett, who is Regional Organizer for the Sierra Club. And they are members of the Blue-Green Alliance. Let's welcome them to the stage.
All right, thank you, sisters and brothers. I'm Lynn Dodson, Secretary Treasurer of the Washington State Labor Council, AFL-CIO. We represent over 400,000 union members in Washington State.
Absolutely.
And we are the watchdogs for all workers, whether they're in unions or not in unions. We work for our communities. We fight to create a better economy. And our concern reaches outside of our state, outside of our nation, to encompass the well-being of workers all over the world. And we know that standing together is the only way that we're going to create a world that puts people before profits. And we also believe in trade. We know that trade can work to benefit everyone. We know it's possible to have trade deals that create jobs, that fix the U.S. trade deficit, that include enforceable labor and environmental standards.
Right.
We know it's possible to have trade policies that advance the conditions of workers here and in other countries. We know it's possible to create trade policies that promote democracy. And we know that we can reach agreement, we can have policies that ensure countries have the ability to create and enforce strong labor standards and strong environmental standards. We know it's possible for trade deals to allow the distribution of medicine to where it's needed and can expand free speech. We know that these are possible. Fair trade is possible. But so far, none of these possibilities have been in our trade deals. Our trade policies since NAFTA have not lived up to the promise of improving lives of workers here and internationally. Instead, they ballooned our trade deficit, hollowed out our manufacturing sector, pushed wages down, and enhanced the influence of the 1% over our economy. Millions of jobs are gone, communities have been devastated in the wake of closed factories, opportunities have been lost. And there's very little transparency, there is no transparency in the current negotiations on the Trans-Pacific Partnership deal. I'll call it a deal, not an agreement. The one thing we do know about this deal is that U.S. trade policy will continue to build multinational corporate power at the expense of workers everywhere. This deal is being negotiated in secret. Not in secret. Corporate lobbyists have access to the trade negotiations. These lobbyists have access to the particulars of the deal, but our own elected Congress people do not. According to the Constitution of the United States, Congress has exclusive authority over trade agreements. So how is it that Congress can't see the provisions of the TPP? How is it the only ones that are sure of the details are unelected corporate lobbyists? So our elected officials are kept, and the public are kept in the dark about the provisions, and now, through the Baucus-hacked camp bill, they want to fast-track legislation. We're fortunate, very fortunate, to have heard from the Speaker that he's not supportive of fast-track, that it won't get through the Senate. We know, because we know that no trade deal, once it gets to fast-track, has ever been defeated. The only time we can defeat a trade deal is before it gets to fast-track. The Baucus-Hatch camp amendment, just like the fast-track provisions in the past, has no formal process that requires Congress or any other independent body to examine it to make sure that it'll have a positive impact on the U.S. No process to make sure that jobs will be created, not destroyed. No process to ensure that state and local governments can continue to protect their water, air, and other natural resources. No process to ensure that there's high labor standards. Congress doesn't get to ask questions about these crucial elements of a trade deal under fast track. They can only vote yes or no. The way the lobbyists write it, Congress can't debate changes or change the TPP. As AFL-CIO President Rich Trumka said the other day, fast track bills are out of date, poorly conceived, and bad for American workers. So on Monday, our Washington State Labor Council President, Jeff Johnson, sent a letter to our congressional delegation. We expressed our views on fast track and asked them for their commitment to vote against any fast track legislation. It's a simple request. Will you do your job on trade agreements? Review the TPP. Verify its impact on our economy. Debate it. Debate the TPP, the provisions. Make sure it'll protect your constituents. Amend what's wrong. My pages are out of order. We said in the letter, we want you, we need you to act as if we live in a democracy where the interests of the 99% are protected. And as Rich Trumka said, get off the corporate hamster wheel of trade. Do your job. So far, the response has been mixed. Our Republican delegation has already said that they'll support fast track. In our Democratic delegation, Congressman Jim McDermott has committed to opposing fast track. Our other congresspeople have not decided yet. They haven't said yes, but they haven't said no either. So sisters and brothers, it's time we went into beast mode. They need to hear from you. They need to hear from you every day. They need to hear that we don't want more of the same trade deals written by and for the 1%. They need to hear that we don't want trade deals that pit workers against each other in a mad race for profits for a few. You need to tell your congressmen and women that you don't want more failed trade policies that, like the TPP. You need to tell them that you are sick and tired of trade policies that do nothing more than shrink our paychecks and make it less likely that our children can climb the ladder of success. Our representatives need to do their jobs, not abdicate their responsibility and let multinational corporations determine our trade policies. We've seen how that works out. We can have trade policies that protect workers' rights, protect the environment, promote higher standards of living, and trade deals that promote democracy. America's workers want an open, democratic, accountable trade policy. We want these policies to include checks and balances on an administration's negotiation power. We reject fast track. And we reject any trade policies that fail to make the place a better world for workers, for the future, for our communities, and for our future. Thank you, sisters and brothers.
Hello, I'm Robin Everett with the Sierra Club. And Mr. Obama's so-called trade pact is nothing more than a corporate power grab, putting polluters' interests ahead of environmental rights. Out of the 29 chapters, only 5 are actually about trade. The rest refer to environmental, labor, intellectual property, and investor rights. This deal has been negotiated in complete secrecy, and the Sierra Club has not been included in the discussion. However, big polluters such as Halliburton, GE, Chevron, the National Coal Council, and the Nuclear Energy Institute are at that table. For the last 3 years, they have been allowed to secretly craft a trade deal that benefits them while we have been shut out of the process. However, thanks to WikiLeaks, the environmental chapter has been leaked, and what we found wasn't pretty. This chapter that's being negotiated under President Obama is actually worse than the environmental chapters that were negotiated under George W. Bush. That's not the change I believe in. The TPP allows rollbacks on illegally harvested timber, wildlife, and fish, while at the same time allowing foreign investors to sue us in private courts for over our environmental laws. Additionally, the TPP would strip our government's power to manage U.S. gas exports, opening the floodgates for fracking, sacrificing our air, our water, all for the need for foreign markets. You guys heard from Plant for the Planet. They have committed to planting 1 million new trees to help combat climate change, while at the same time, our leaders are negotiating to massively chop down the Amazon rainforest. In President Obama's State of the Union address, he stated that climate change is real and that we must act. When future generations ask us if we did everything we could to halt climate change, he wants to say, yes, we did. Well, I'm here to say, no, we didn't. We have not even scratched the surface on what needs to be done to protect our planet and our children's future from catastrophic climate change. And in all of the above energy policy, combined with expansive trade deals designed to protect polluters' profits, prove that his commitment to fighting climate change is left wanting. The current state of the environmental chapter is completely unacceptable. It's unbelievable to think that we have allowed foreign corporations to attack the public interest policies and private trade tribunals, but we can't get an environmentally binding chapter with strong commitments to help protect natural resources. This goes against everything we are working so hard to gain. This goes against environmental protections, halting disastrous climate change, ending corporate personhood, getting money out of politics, raising our standard of living, and raising the minimum wage. I am here to tell Congress to reject Fast Track, and I hope that you do too.
Right.
Let's hear it for Robin and Lynn from the Blue Green Alliance. So as we heard, Monsanto, Cargill, big agribusiness are at the TPP table laying out their plans to take over our food systems and force us to eat their GM pesticide-laden foods, poisoning our communities. However, the next speaker is the antidote to all of that. Reverend Robert Jeffrey is the senior pastor of New Hope Baptist Church and the founder of the Black Dollar Days Task Force, a not-for-profit committed to facilitating economic self-sufficiency for inner-city African Americans. The Black Dollar Days Task Force founded Clean Greens. They manage a 23-acre chemical-free farm in Duval, Washington, where they employ people from their community and produce healthy vegetables to sell at a low cost in our community. We welcome Robert Jeffrey to the stage.
Thank you. One of the major problems with NAFTA and subsequently with TPP is that it has provided fertile ground for agribusiness corporations to grow and to flourish by displacing millions of small Mexican farmers and millions of poor people across the world. They gobble up vast amounts of farmland and other land, creating stiff and unfair competition for farmers and ranchers in the United States. The result of agribusiness and corporate land grabs is the victimization of the Mexican farmers and other poor workers across this region, subjecting the farmers in Mexico to Monsanto-like product producing practices, in addition to subjugating formerly independent farmers to the choice of living in squalor conditions of poverty wages on large plantations. When will we learn that putting the food supply, in addition to our environmental future, into the hands of people whose only concern is profit, even at the expense of community, is a morally bankrupt policy? Yeah. These policies are bankrupt because they create by their design an invasive corporate welfare system that maintains and promotes the existing corporate model and mindset. It's designed by its very nature, impedes the natural evolutionary progression of civilization by forcing upon it a dominating corporate reality that is already destroying the world. In effect, what these policies do is to make permanent, through dominant expansion, an imperfect corporate system dependent on fossil fuel, worker exploitation, and genetic earth-altering engineering. If there is to be global economic dialogue, let it begin from the bottom up, not from the top down. Corporate-controlled governments do not speak for the hopes and dreams of the masses of people that are affected by these policies. People must be allowed to speak directly to each other. Small farmers must unite with other small farmers and create international farm collectives that can assure food security. Industrial workers must unite and create international workers unions that can prevent the continued exploitation of workers. We need to develop community-based financial development agencies that will become community-based international monetary funds that can fuel the development of international small business opportunities. As Dr. King Jr. reminded us, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. reminded us, change does not roll in on the wheels of inevitability, but comes through the continuous struggle of the people. And so we must straighten our backs and work for our freedom. A man, he states, can't ride you unless your back is already bent. Today, our collective backs have become bent by relying on political systems that are already bought and paid for by both the money of the rich and the judicial cowardice of those sworn to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America. It is bent by the force of international police states that pretend to be democracies. It is bent by the magnitude and scope of what is being done both to the world and its environment and its citizens. Our backs are bent, being bent by illegal corporate wars that leave many paralyzed by the pseudo-patriotic rantings of those who use legitimate despair as a means of increasing their corporate political power and wealth. Nevertheless, it is up to the people of goodwill, those who still believe in the moral imperative of justice for all, to take up the quarrel with the foe, the torch of generations of men and women who have fought and died for economic and social justice, for collective bargaining, for community-based food sovereignty, for the preservation of our environment is now in our hands. Let us not break faith with this great endeavor.
Thank you, Reverend Jeffrey. So continuing off of that, to remind you, we are joining people across Canada, including communities in Calgary, Kitchener, Red Deer, and Saskatoon. We are also joining communities across the U.S. today, Allentown, Pennsylvania, Fresno, California, Poughkeepsie, New York, Salt Lake City, Vegas, Jersey City, and I'm only naming a few. So we need, before you leave today, we need you to take a flyer, and it has the telephone numbers of all your elected officials. And we need you to promise today that you will call your elected leaders, and you will say, have a backbone, pledge to vote no on fast track. How many will do that? Can I hear you?